Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Sunday morning. My name is Michael Van Tol. This is an inspirational community affairs program, a podcast every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty, the warrior lawyer Johnny Hawkins. So glad to be here. The Sunday morning team is gradually jumping on, but Henrietta Ivey's here, home care advocate, community activist, and political analyst and podcaster. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to our amazing missionary, Hattie Humphrey. We love you. And hello to everyone in Detroit on this cold October morning.
Yes, it's 40 degrees this morning, and we're looking for our weather report later. Of course, you have news, weather, even a little bit of sports sometimes, and then commentary from the Sunday morning team. When we come back, we have the latest news and weather right after these messages.
Benjamin Brothers Realty.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix 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 them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them dripping with style, got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you want to do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. Yeah. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, it's such a financial help. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's B-B-R-O-S-R-E-A-L-T-Y @gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service.
Back to the Michael Van Tol Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tol.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that
all right, right, the Sunday Morning Team is gradually jumping on. Author, speaker, podcaster, lifestyle editor, Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our amazing Sunday Morning Team. Shout out to missionary Hattie Humphrey, and good morning, Detroit.
Great, great. Here's the latest news. Israel is at war this morning after surprise attack by over 1,000 Hamas fighters that violently crossed into Israel by land, air, and sea. This morning, the Israeli death toll sits around 500. At 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning, militants from Gaza attacked dozens of locations in Israel, taking equipment, trucks, tanks, and Israeli soldiers hostage, and civilians, taking many back across the border into Gaza. There are reports of Hamas fighters holding hostages right now in Israel. It was a surprise attack using hang gliders, boats, and over 2,200 rockets fired into Israel. President Biden promised to stand with Israel and provide them with whatever they need to defend themselves. Many question now, why was Israel caught so off guard? They had no clue all this was going on, all this planning, and you know they must have been planning it for months. Some people say that because Israel has been distracted by its internal disagreements, you know, they've been fighting over the judicial system there all year. And they've had thousands and thousands of protests, and it's crippled the government. But I wonder if we're going to be in the same kind of trouble, because we don't have a Speaker of the House, and we have our own left and right-wing fights. We get distracted, too, and I hope our security services, are listening, watching, so that we won't get caught off guard. There is too much going on in this world for us to get caught up in these petty differences. Look what happened in Israel. Unbelievable. The Lions are going for their fourth win today, 1 p.m. at Ford Field. We have a great chance because guess what? The Carolina Panthers are 0-4. So this ought to be a really exciting game. This will help to distract us from all this hard news that's going on. No one won the Powerball either. So I think that's up to $1.4 billion. And I do think that some people won the a million, you know, the smaller, but that's not small, but, you know, some people won. You know, there's, I think, $1, $2, and $3 million prizes, too. Mel Tucker, the ex-MSU coach, is fighting, and he's in court, fighting for his job and his reputation. Yesterday, his team produced hundreds of text messages from Brenda Tracy, the prominent advocate against sexual violence that he hired months ago. As I said before, there's no Speaker of the House right now, and it doesn't look like there's any clear winner. Steve Scalise, it's hard to pronounce his name, and Jim Jordan, two really horrible choices for Speaker of the House. But neither of them really has enough support. This is going to be really interesting. I hope they settle it, because we don't know what's going to happen over in Israel over the next few days. That is going to get worse before it gets better. And we're going to need our government to be quick and make proper decisions. And if we cannot react quickly in these emergency situations, we're going to be in trouble. Saturday, I went to the funeral services for the poet Sparrow, good friend of mine. One of my other poets named Paradise, got a chance to sit with him during the service. He had a couple of comments that he shared during the service. This Sparrow, he was one of those who did the rhythm style poetry like I did. And I remember years ago, maybe about 20 years ago, I emceed a televised show that he did, ran on cable. They ran that thing on cable for about 3 years. I wish I would have got paid for it. Well, I'm sure we both wish we would have got paid for it. But that cable company, I don't even remember what cable it was on, but they ran that thing so many times. It was a great show. He was very talented, and he will be missed. All right. Kimberly, we talked a little about the fact that it was 40 degrees this morning. before this, I guess we didn't want to offend you, so we discussed it before you got on the line. Oh, it's chilly out there. I've been out there. Out there this morning. I went out, got some gas, and checked my oil and stuff, mm-hmm. and it was chilly. What's going on? What's today, and what's the rest of it? Looks nice out there.
It does for right now. It is currently 44 degrees. The sun is out. However, there's a chance of rain showers today. We're only getting to a high of 53 with a low of 39. It is fall, guys. Keep your umbrellas close by.
That's right. That's right. It is fall, isn't it? What are we complaining about?
Fall.
It's fall.
Well, so to go back, and I'm going to get really back to the weather. What was it, 3 days ago on Wednesday or Thursday? It was mm-hmm. still close to 80. It was like 77, mm-hmm. 78. So it was like the very next day, it was like the temperature dramatically dropped. And we're mm-hmm. all still trying to adapt. So today's high is a high of 53, a low of 39. There's a chance of showers today. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of only 54 and a low of 44. On Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies will continue with a high of 55 and a low of 43. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies again with a high of 59 with a low of 44. On Thursday, more showers with a high of 59 and a low of 50. On Friday, more rain with a high of 58 and a low of 48. And on Saturday, more rain with only a high of 57 degrees and a low of 47. And if you guys are paying attention, our lows are getting lower. So if you have plants outside that you want to keep, that you have in pots, start to bring them in, because once we hit frost, that will kill them. And that's the weather.
Great. It's not, there's no surprise. You know, it is, mm-hmm. there is fall, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's what happens, right?
mm-hmm.
That's what happens right now. You know, I could not understand what happened in this road rage incident.
Mm,
on the northwest side of Detroit this weekend, mm-hmm. I am just, you know, this is what I see happen.
What happened? I missed it.
There was a road rage incident, and so one vehicle chased the other.
Mm.
That vehicle slammed into an innocent bystander driving her SUV or minivan. She died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The people that were chasing him continued to chase him, mm-hmm. and got to him and opened fire. I understand it was more than one. They basically executed him on the street. Just shot him up. Yeah.
Yep.
And then they drove off, and they're, I guess, still looking for him. this was, I'm speechless. I never wanted, let me tell you, there's two things, because you just never know. You have an accident. Mm-hmm. That's like my worst nightmare. I don't want, mm-hmm. that's why some people don't want to stop after an accident. Yep. You don't know what frame of mind that person is. I remember, mm-hmm. do you remember that movie, The Bonfire of the Vanities? It was about
I never saw that.
A couple that were out for dinner and at night in New York City. And they drove down the street and accidentally hit somebody. Mm. And the people chased them and followed them, chased them all night long. I haven't seen it for so long. But, like, you know, one of my worst nightmares is driving down one of these city streets and mm-hmm. some kid rushes out chasing a ball. You know, you hit them by mistake because they just ran out from between two cars. But then, like, but nobody's out there, no adult, no family member. And then 5 minutes later, you get out to see how the little kid is doing. And all of a sudden, 20 family members and cousins come out of nowhere to come and get
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people don't want to stop after an accident. You don't need mm-hmm. you don't know what's going to happen. They want to be judge, jury, executioner right
mm-hmm.
there. But
right
now
there,
some
huh?
people some people do say that it might have been more going on with the original two that were, you know, chasing the other.
Right.
And the police chief actually said it. He said this, they won't be surprised if there's more to it because, and that was just an execution. I mean, what was it so bad? And people get so angry that it was partly road rage. But then to go and have run into an innocent woman, she died. But then mm-hmm. on top of that, the people that were chasing him finally caught up with him and just shot him to pieces. Yes. Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
It do sound personal. I mean, it definitely sounds like that was a personal vendetta, and they finally caught up to that individual for whatever reason. But like you said, what has it got people so enraged? Even in that incident, even if there was a vendetta, what is it? Me and a friend of mine were talking yesterday about back in the day when we grew up, you know, it was this one-on-one fight. If you had a beef with somebody, y'all met up in the field and you fought, and whoever won, whoever lost, and y'all made up. You know, that was the rule of the game. Whoever lose, after y'all get it out your system, y'all got to make up. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. It wasn't no coming back with 20, 30 people. It wasn't no coming back, shooting up the person's house and, you
right.
know, all of this stuff. It started getting more so toward the late 80s and 90s where kids would go to school. And I remember a teacher at Durfee scolded a student and put the student out of her classroom. The student went home, left the building, came back. And her aunt, her mom, and all her family, about 15 women, waited for this teacher to get off of work. And they dinged and beat her to death when she was walking to her car. So it is, what is it about the environment that's changed
it's
and is consistently changing?
It's not just road rage. There's
mm-hmm.
rage in,
it's just
you know,
rage.
Like you said,
mm-hmm.
yes. And I'm like, where did it come from? You know, I wrote
right.
a poem. I wrote a poem asking that, where does all this hate come from? Where did this rage come from? I don't get it.
Everybody's
because,
angry. Everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just read an article about, they said on local school boards across the country, people are divided and into factions. They're getting people fired, thrown off,
mm-hmm.
recalled. It's just a ton of rage out here.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know where that comes from. It's just
And a lot of this, guys, and I don't want to disconnect everything back to politics, but a lot of things are connected to politics. If you look at the rise of Donald Trump and how he gave the platform and the opportunity for people to say really what they were thinking, that, you know, we think of it, a lot of people will say, well, Donald Trump brought a lot of hate crimes and anger and animosity back towards black people. He brought that out into the open. Okay, that is one thing. But at the same time, then it became anger about everything. Remember when there was, quote unquote, and I'm saying this, the border crisis, where you had all these people who kept crossing the border. What was he saying about the Mexicans? He was saying that they were lazy, that they were drug addicts, that these were the worst of the people. He listed a bunch of countries around the world as bleep, bleep, bleep countries, bad countries. We don't want these people. We want people from Norway and Sweden and different things. And we can talk about what that means. We all know what that means. But what he was doing was categorizing people as good and bad at the, heart of it. And so many people, when you look at them, there was a conversation that I read. It was an interview with a guy who's in New York. And he was talking about gentrification in Bed-Stuy, and, you know, there's gentrification in Harlem. And he was talking about, you know, during COVID, we had white guys in a gym who wouldn't pull their mask up. And somebody told them, a person of color, told them to pull their mask up, and they sort of gave them this dismissive look. And he said it set something off in him that was pure rage. And so what you're talking about, Michael, it was this underlying anger. And but he said it wasn't just about the mask. It was about the fact that all of a sudden we have a whole population of people who suddenly have, quote unquote, think they found an area and will act like, oh, now we're going to make it our own. He said, why are you walking into a bodega asking for oat milk? This is Bed-Stuy. Why are you? And so he said, we're watching the displacement of the people that were originally there. There's anger there. You're watching this man dismissively respond to this individual who was another black person, which is typically what happens between white and black. Not all, but a lot of times things that we hear about is because there was a negative interaction between a black person and a white person. And so when we look at anger that ticks up, you know, it's almost like looking at someone who's been abused and when they decide to strike back, or a child. Let's take that, a child. A child who's been bullied in class. This is a quiet kid who never said anything. The kids are tripping them, they're taking their school lunch money, they're taking their seats in class, all these things, and then one day they decide enough is enough. Now, Henrietta, you're right. It used to be that people would get out and fight one-on-one. Now what do? They go get a gun because it's anger that's been pushed down. It hasn't been dealt with. We can look at Ethan Crumbly. You know, I think there were some mental issues there, but there was some anger because he was different and no one wanted to embrace him or even give him room to sort of express himself. And maybe had he expressed himself earlier before when he did, maybe he could have gotten some help and they could have dealt with some of the issues that he had. But we see this often. Everything ends up in this gun battle. But a lot of it, I believe, started when Donald Trump started running for president and emboldened people, say how you feel. You're angry. And everybody was angry because, and I'm going to take this back to 2000, and Henrietta, help me. When did President Obama talk about the global economy? Was that 2010? Or
it was
somewhere
I believe
running.
It was 20, it might have been 2014, but I don't quote me. But I believe it was 2010. But if they, my mind is saying 2014.
It might have been 2014, so we'll go with 2014. So President Barack Obama had talked about how the economy was becoming global. He said, we're not going to have coal anymore. We got to go to new energies. And you remember people were railing against him because they were like, this is our life, this is our livelihood. And we understand it. And sometimes people don't want to change, and mm-hmm. people can be resistant to change, and that can make people very, very angry. And mm-hmm. so a lot of this, I feel like, or I believe, not I feel, I believe, it is tied to things that people are struggling with because our world has changed. We can talk about how COVID is over. It's not. COVID is coming back. There's a new variant. They're talking about mask mandates again. We still have people dying. We still have people who have a lack to lack of access to health care. We still have food banks that have droves and droves of people. There was an article that I read, I haven't read it, that's it. It was talking about A Tale of Two Downtowns. I haven't marked to read it. And I'm wondering, mm-hmm. is this the conversation about how there is this greater downtown that's thriving, but then you're trying to figure out where are the black people? We're in mm-hmm. a city that is a majority, 90% African-American, and they are not seen downtown. And I can say that because I was just downtown. And, Michael, you mm-hmm. know that because we talked about that.
Yep.
Just downtown,
yep.
and you see us sparingly. Mm-hmm. So I think it's rage or anger that has built up over time, and now it mm-hmm. is just...
Yeah, people are feeling marginalized. Let me welcome another member of the Sunday morning team, Chaplain, International Police and Fire Chaplain Association, Minister, Musician, Chaplain Kathy. Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Mike. Good morning to the rest of the Sunday morning team. Shout out to the missionary this morning. And hell, I'm going to say I miss you all and I miss you, Detroit.
I'm like, I could not believe. I'm like, I looked at the thing and it's the Chaplain Kathy, and I'm like, wow,
right.
how are you, man? We missed you, man. Yes, welcome back home.
Yes, good to be. I'm glad my key's still working the door. You hear me?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm glad y'all
you still got a
thing. Yeah. I'm so glad. I tell you, I miss you guys so much. I've had some good days and some bad days, but I thank God that I'm still here. I thank God for all you guys and friends all around, social media all around the city of Detroit. Sister Henrietta, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Sister Kimberly, thank God for you, Mike. I have to say your names individually because guys really helped me out through my downtime, the times that I needed help the most. I needed to show that the kid, as I've always
well, you know
said,
we're here.
Yeah, you know. Care is what we show based on the love we say we have. So thank you for caring
Amen.
About me.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely,
Amen.
Man. We're, you know, you sound like you was gonna sing that song. You had some good days and you had some bad days. I've heard that song before. But it's great to hear you, and it's great to see that. You know, despite these things, you keep fighting back. You fight back. You know, some
mm-hmm.
people give up, but you fight back. And you know, that's what you got to do. And, you know, so we were talking about where's all this rage coming from, with whether it's a carjacking or road rage and things like that, even in school. Kimberly, you were right. I talked to a school teacher the other day, and actually I was going to have her on earlier this year, and something came up, and we weren't able to do the interview, but I wanted to talk to her about her experiences in DPS, and she said it's just crazy when the parent comes up to school to fight on behalf mm-hmm. of their kids, to fight the teacher or other kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the kids have taken over, and the parents
mm-hmm.
just follow in step and do whatever the kids do.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote a poem. It's called Yesterday, and this I wrote this like, man, 20 years ago. Where was love yesterday when all this hate came? Sons and daughters mm-hmm. still die here on the front line. And isn't it strange that this secret war is staged and reported daily on the front page? Why must families endure such pain? A lifeless body for a mother to claim. Where was love yesterday? That was, I wrote that for somebody when I was in high school.
Wow.
That's
oh,
how,
wow.
And this girl had was a victim of a shooting, and her body was left in a field or something. That's when I wrote it for. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. that's been so long now. But the words are still powerful and accurate. An implosion deep and wide, sending shockwaves through many lives. The cousins, uncles, and the aunts. Where does all this hate come from? A piece of our life dies too whenever a loved one is removed. We must learn to love one another the same way that God loves you. Where was love yesterday was asked of Jesus in those days. Remember, he has been this way. Anguish deep, praying for relief, unbearable sorrows beyond belief. Jesus died to set you free. So where was love last week? Where was love yesterday when all this hate came? Well, love was here, meek and mild, in the eyes of a little child, and near the Bible on the shelf, a bewildered, shell-shocked father knelt. He was looking for love within himself. Where was love yesterday? Love was here. Love is here. Love was always here. It's just that people mm-hmm. are not looking in the right place. They're not looking mm-hmm. and thinking about the right things when something comes up. They actually, you know, when somebody makes a mistake and bumps into your car, you make a mistake and bump the bumper of your neighbor's car, and he comes mm-hmm. out with a shotgun. He comes out with a shotgun. Why? Mm-hmm. You know, you mm-hmm. were backing up. You were backing up, and, you know, there was no damage. No damage to the vehicle. This is typical mm-hmm. of the rage that's going on. And you're thinking, mm-hmm. like, why did he get so angry? Came out there cussing, talking about, I just bought that car. Don't mess up my car. And ready to shoot you. You know, mm-hmm. I still mm-hmm. can't get over the time. Look, I know I talk about it all the time, but I still, one time my washer and dryer messed up. And I had to go to the laundromat. And mm-hmm. it was a nice, quiet, sunny morning. I'm at the laundromat, and my clothes, they were in the dryer, just about almost getting ready to leave. And I just went over to open it up, and I realized I opened the wrong one. It wasn't mine, and mine was right next to it. You know, I'm mm-hmm. sure people mm-hmm. make mistakes like this all mm-hmm. the time. So I closed it back, and a guy came over. He said, MF, what you doing, man? That's my F. You know, what the F you – I mean, he just – like, I'm like, what? I said, I'm sorry, man. It looked just like mine. I closed it back. Mine's right here. Mm-hmm. Sorry about mm-hmm. that. So about 20 minutes later, because I had some more clothes in another dryer – you know, it was more than one. So about 20 minutes later, I hear this guy still talking and stuff, and I realized he was talking to me. Mm-hmm. 20 yeah. minutes later, he was still cussing up his phone, talking about, you know, this is some BS. This Negro gonna come over here and try to take my stuff. And I was like, let me hurry up and get my stuff and get out of here. Because this guy, mm-hmm. I just don't know right now to this day but something's going on. Something's going on in their brains, something. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's some mental illness also. You know, yeah. there's mm-hmm. so many yeah. things it could be. People aren't eating right properly. People, yeah. you know, yeah. that has an effect. People may be drinking. Maybe he got put out of his house for foreclosure. Mm-hmm. They took his car yesterday. You know, people are at different levels, and mm-hmm. something very petty. You walked out, mm-hmm. You know, and you accidentally bump into the neighbor's car, you know, parked out on the street, and the person goes off, it's because we don't know what else is going on. And they just don't flip one day. It don't take much. It doesn't take much at all. You know. All right. You know, since Chaplain Kathy has not been on with us, let me start off with him and hear from the Sunday morning team. Let's start off with the righteous, holy one, Chaplain Kathy.
Amen.
What's on your mind, young man?
Wonderful introduction. I'm in the car right now, snuck away. I'm sneaking away from work so that I can have this chat with my family because I miss you all so much. I miss you guys so much. If there's one thing that I would just like to say, I'd just like to tell you today that God is so real. And if I'm a king, and since I'm a host on this show, I'm going to sing a piece of it. You see?
All right.
So I'm going to sing a piece of this for y'all. Amen.
Amen.
There are some things I'll never know. There are some places that I'll never go. But I am sure of this one thing, that my God is real, for I can see in my soul. Yes, God is real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me just got to go. Yes, God is real, for I can give him my soul. Well, God bless you all today. I wanted to share that piece, which I'm not on right to that song, so I don't want the original songwriter to be coming, talking about we're going to sue Blog Talk Radio and try to get seen. So let me tell you, I don't want to write to that song, but I love it.
Well, thanks for blessing us, Chaplain, this morning. We really appreciate that. I tell you, that was right on time.
Beautiful. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, God bless you all. I got to get back into work right now. I love you guys,
okay,
and I'll be on Monday if God will.
All right.
Be
blessed. Bless you, man.
Bless you, too. Keep on running.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to the show like I do every week. I'm going to listen to it when I get off work.
Excellent.
Okay.
Right. Okay, brother. All right. That is
God
so
bless
nice.
You. Love you guys.
God bless you. That
love
is
you
so
too.
Nice
love
to
you
to,
yes.
to sneak yes. off. and sneak off, do the show, and go back to work. That's great. That's great. That is so great. All right. All right. Kimberly, let's go with you. What's going on?
So I came across this really great article that is titled, "Scientists are 3D printing stem cells that can be implanted as brain tissue." I thought this was fascinating.
What?
And exciting, if yes. An exciting advance from Oxford University has raised the prospect of tailoring stem cells quickly to treat brain injuries in humans in the future by essentially 3D printing brain cells. Implanted cells integrated into the animal's brain, both structurally and functionally. The innovative study, published in the Journal of Nature Communications, marks the first time that neural cells have been 3D printed to mimic the architecture of the cerebral cortex. The success of the study, part of a 10-year span of published research on 3D printing culture cells in synthetic tissues, has increased hopes that similar technology could one day be used to treat brain injuries. Each year, around 70 million people across the globe suffer from traumatic brain injuries, with 5 million of those being severe or fatal. There is no effective or reliable treatment. However, cutting-edge tissue regenerative therapies are seen as a promising route to treatment, especially those which incorporate implants derived from patients' own stem cells. In this latest study, researchers used 3D printing techniques to create a two-layered brain tissue using human neural stem cells. When implanted into the brains of mice, these cells encouragingly show convincing structure and functional integration with the host tissue despite the species difference. The cells were then dipped in a solution to generate two bioinks, which were then printed to produce a two-layered structure that was maintained for weeks. This work will provide a unique opportunity to explore the workings of the human cortex in the long term, it will offer hope to individuals who sustain brain injuries. The implanted cells also show signaling activity, which correlated to that of the host cells, indicating that the human and mouse cells were communicating with each other and demonstrating functional as well as structural integration in the brain. This is groundbreaking, because if you've been paying attention to, Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox, who suffers from Parkinson's, has talked a lot about stem cell. And, you know, stem cell research can be controversial because a lot of times it's taken from aborted fetuses. It can also be taken from women who've just had a baby. If you donated cord blood, you can get stem cells. In cancer research and in cancer, I don't want to say cures, but in some of the therapies they've used, I know people who specifically have had children because they had another child that was sick, and they use the stem cells from the baby to cure or to help the older child, and it has proven to be effective. It
wow.
is groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm. What the future? Oh, my goodness. Can you just imagine
in
10 years, in 25, in 50 years from now, can you imagine the leap of technology and what's going to be capable, what men will be capable of doing, what man, let's put it that way, and I'm talking about everybody.
She was fighting breast cancer, and so she had to have her vulva actually removed, but her implant, and I say this because when she went and had the first breast removed, they took the breast off, but they reconstructed it with the implant, and they used human cadaver for her implant as her new breast. You talking about a pretty breast. I'm like, girl, yeah, I mean, who is your person? But so when we talk about stem cells and how they are the recreation of how things are being done so the cancer won't come back or give it a more, you know, more look, because they were scared that she do the implant, you know, the chemicals from the implant might somehow irritate other cells where they wanted to make, I mean, it was so much that went into the thought process of her with these implants, but it all came from stem cells. So her new implants are all stem cells. If this is where it's leading to for the future, where people can get better, I'm all for it. I'm not for it if it's going to lead to destruction, though. You know, it's a biblical. It's a borderline across, and it's amazing how we have these brilliant-minded people. And as long as we have people who have the right intent for the future, doing this kind of science, I'm all for it. I am all for it. Literally.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a trade-off in many cases, like AI. I mean, and I've downloaded the app, and I used it a couple times, and it's just amazing at how much just that AI, and we just came out with it recently. I could just imagine what that's going to be like after a while. But, I always look at Star Trek as they said there's a lot of stuff that was in Star Trek, and that's a good way to gauge how things are going. Even the Jetsons. the Jetsons had a lot of stuff, you know. Even that the food, I remember they went and pressed a button and to order the food. I think they did it on Star Trek, too. But aren't we there, just about there with the, what do you got? Will you just print it out, the stuff? where you can print out. That's how they're doing it. That's you can make a gun from a printer, printing it out. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, and Henrietta.
And they're making meat too.
They already they got
I'm
chicken.
I'm not eating it.
Yeah. They got chicken already.
Yeah.
They got the chicken. All right, Henrietta. I know you've been getting stuff done. I know your first podcast was done in the book.
Well, yeah. So the Couch Conversations started. It was really supposed to be done on a different platform, but however, that did not pan out. I was actually combined the podcast with a podcast that was called Quarantine that was actually
right. I remember that.
Yeah, so we just went on ahead and said, hey, you know, him and Roger at WJZZ was like, you know what, we not in quarantine anymore, so we're going to evolve it. And we was going to knock it into the Couch Conversation, which I was like, oh, wow. You know, I was just trying to be an additive to the show, but it actually became the platform. And we did our first radio show Friday, talking, we had a lot of great topics on there, and it really went off really well, and so I'm excited about Couch Conversations now, and we're going to also do an actual live podcast about Couch Conversations where we can be more, in a sense, more open and more raw with the actual podcast. So we're going to be streaming it on WJZZ, and we're going to also stream it on a live YouTube streaming source as well. And so we're pushing it because the Couch Conversation really is in detail, is having conversations that people don't want to talk about. And we do understand that when you're on the radio, you have to be, careful what you say. You don't want to get cited or have the station, fined for a certain topic. But Couch Conversation will allow these topics to be openly discussed, all topics, but with respect, of course. So we had fun building that out, and we're still building on it. We're still trying to take it to other places. So that took place on Friday, and we had fun doing it. Saturday, we were at the Supermajority event that was given by Tashana Gill and Al B.J. Williams. It was amazing. I got the opportunity to actually sit and talk to Hill Hopper. Hi, Hill. How are you? I hope you listen this morning, because I told him I said you can listen to our show this morning. So we communicated, and I'm going to try to get him on the show, guys. So that's the plan, to have him come on the Michael Van Tool show and talk about his race for Senate, to talk about what his policies are probably going to be, in the case of his win, what he's going in with. Like, what are you going in with? I know there's so many issues, so many agendas, so many things that need to happen. But you know my thing is going to be home care. What federal policies are we going to put in place for these carriers?
Absolutely. I would love to have him on the show. I got a chance to talk to him. We took a picture last week. So absolutely. Yeah.
I got a picture with him yesterday. It was so cool.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to him about the show. We were talking about something else. But absolutely, Henrietta, if you can put it together, I'd love to
I'm going to definitely circle him around. I feel like if this is the person we're pushing, and you know how I am about my politics, I keep it that way in regards to favorites and what people feel that we should get behind. I'm always the person that get behind them. What are the reasons why we're getting behind any candidate? I don't care if it's Hill. I don't care
if it's any other
politician, because we have to know their agenda going in those doors. Because what we can't do is keep doing politics the same old way. That was something Sinead Whitaker mentioned yesterday, and she was so right. And I was like, you know what? In my mind, like, say that, sis, because we all been saying it for a long time. We cannot keep doing politics the same old way. We can't. We can't just keep saying, oh, that goes somebody. We picking people out of a crowd and saying, go with that one. And we don't know who that person is. And I'm not saying that about Hill, because I had an opportunity to talk to Hill Hopper. Very solid guy. He comes, he shows up. That's a good sign starting out. You know, you come, you show up, but there's more to show up on. So my thing is, as we push these candidates through, what are their platforms? How are they going to help? there are major issues in workers' rights. We really need to get some reform around workers' rights, and that includes home care. That includes all labor mm-hmm. people. It all starts from the federal level. And if we don't get the right person on the federal level to push hard for these workers, we are going to be heading into a new age of poverty for people who cannot make it on the wages that they have. That starts at the federal level. The federal level trickles down to the local level. And if that local level is not getting the federal response or funding, they can't do much with what comes federally. Now, mind you, we did have billions of dollars left over from the Arbor Fund. We still have billions of dollars left over from the Arbor Fund. That's the federal money. Why isn't that money being distributed in the way that it needs to be distributed amongst the things that matters to people, the tangibles? I get everything. I'm all for environment. I do this. I'm working with an environmental agency right now. I'm all about climate change. But as I speak to people every day, 5 days a week, and talk to them about climate change and environmental change and safe waters and safe soils and safe air, a lot of people understand that, but let me be clear. The majority of people still do not care about environment. And this is coming from the people that I talk to every day. They don't care about that. Their concern to me was, what about right now? I need money right now to buy a house. I need money right now to save my house. I need money to feed my family. We need things that we can put our hands on. That is the fight. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of problems out here, and it all starts from the federal level. So when I talk to people like Hill Harper and Leslie Love and Alyssa Slotkins and all these people that are running, what are you going to do on a federal level? I know you're going to pick up with Debbie Stabenow left off at, and that's great because she did a lot of things for Michigan. But you have to come in on that, those agendas that you're picking up from where she left off on, that's fine. But you have a lot of new issues that you need to pick up on and bring to the table and get it done. People are not hiring mm-hmm. these politicians to just go up there and be a face. You have to get the work done. And if you can't get up there and get the work done, then I'm sorry. I'm not going to push. So I have to have these conversations, and I'm glad that I was able to have a conversation with Hill. We're supposed to have a conversation later on today. I'm going to give him a call, and we're going to sit down and have just some brief conversations, and then, again, I want to get him on the show so he can talk about what his plan is moving forward, not just what people are pushing you to talk about, but your whole idea of what you know that needs to be fixed. Of course, somebody can tell you all their agendas, and we can push climate. We can push, you know, housing. We can push education. These are the things we've been pushing. But there are a lot of things that are being pushed, but nothing is being solidified. So that was a great experience to do that. And so my whole weekend has been, you know, like I say, community service, hitting these events, talking to people, getting the work done so I can bring back to my community on what to do when it comes election time next year.
Well, former Congressman mm-hmm. Mike Rogers, he entered the race last week. So did former Detroit Police Chief James Craig on the Republican
mm-hmm.
side. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
these are on the Republican side. Those two entered last week. So it's going to be – this is the race. This race,
mm-hmm.
this one is going
to
be the race.
Watch.
I mean, we have a number of people that have already declared – that they're running on the Democratic side, but the Republicans
mm-hmm.
keep adding two. So they just added two more
mm-hmm.
over the past week. We just got about 7 minutes left. And I'm hoping that we can have a few of those candidates on over the next year when
yeah.
it's time, you know, that, because
mm-hmm.
this is the race. This is the one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And a good thing, Michael, where everybody's getting started early. That makes it even better because now the
right.
citizens and the voters have an opportunity to really have conversations. And that was something that Shanae mentioned yesterday, too, is that you don't want to wait 2 weeks before the election to start bombarding people. And this is something we talked about
exactly.
all last year with For Our Future and other organizations, that how do we stop this two-week notification that somebody is coming? You start a year ahead. So it's a good thing that they're all getting out there right now. Give the voters the opportunity to actually have a say in it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's see. I'm going to be heading out myself this morning to service. And just looks like a beautiful day out there right now.
Yes.
Did you say it was going to be some rain later?
Yes, the chance of raining later. Yes. Carry your umbrella with you.
Yeah, let me be prepared. It looks so nice now, you know.
It does. It does.
Yep, I definitely do. But I enjoyed this morning. Great conversation. It's good to hear Chaplain Cappy pop back on the line there. That was really nice. I think you asked me, Henrietta, you know, how things were going. I did slow it down a little bit this weekend. You know, it's been a lot going on. You know, the commissioner had a lot of events going on over the past couple of weeks, and I had a lot of personal stuff going on, especially like with the funeral services. The fourth funeral service I've been to in the last few months, that this was yesterday for the poet Sparrow. But I am going to slow it down for October. I'm going to slow things down because then the holidays will be here. Halloween is coming, and then Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the New Year. So I think October, the next 30 days, I'm going to slow it down a little bit. Still working on some new projects. You know, still in discussions for these new projects coming up. I'm looking at if anything is launched, it will be in the new year. It'll be the new year. You know, it's hard to do a whole bunch of stuff over the holidays, but I'm working on it step by step. But I want to, if things go in the right direction, I would want to start it at the beginning of the year, sometime in January. So that's where things are right now. But guys, hey, thanks for being on the show. Thank you for being a part of the Sunday morning team. And I hope you have a great day today and do all that you can to make our community better. Oh, let me mention something about Franklin Wright. Because Spirit of Giving, matter of fact,
December 14th.
I'm waiting before I call my order in for my table. I just want to make sure it's confirmed, but I am trying to get a table for Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. And so I'm just firming up my commitments and names now, and hopefully I'll be able to pick up that phone and call Franklin Wright and let him know, you know, look, I want a table, you know, so that's
right.
I want it. I'm not going to call yet. Next week. I don't want to speak too soon. Maybe next week. I just want to make sure that I get firm commitments and so that my team is ready so we can get our table. All right. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I got to go get a new suit. I got to get a new suit for this.
This is going to be nice. It's going to be nice.
Yes. All right, guys. Oh, it's at MGM. I just want to say that. The Spirit of Giving is the biggest
MGM
fundraiser.
December 14th.
Yes, help me out. Okay. Help me out, Kimberly.
It is the place to be. It is for Pathways to Hope, which services children at Franklin Wright Settlement. And it is the place where you will see the who's who of Detroit.
That's right. All right. So have a great day today. And we'll see you next Sunday morning right here on the Michael Van Tool Show. God bless you all.
Have a great day, everybody.
Okay.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert, today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening.
Everything is going to be all right. Hold your head up high. Love.